B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walt it, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, ha, yeah. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. Here it comes. Yeah. Check. I grew up on the crime side, New York Times side. Ooh. Hold on. Hey.
What am I holding on for?
Just it's the intro. You got to have a nice intro. Yeah.
Are you going to do something?
Oh, you want me to do something?
Yeah, I thought I was free for it.
I thought I was having hype for it. Here we go. Making money on my day. Hardy on the right. Coffee to my left. Don't know what the flow about. Gotta go about. Get on another show and go out. Now I'm dropping lines from the...
Keep going.
I was on the freestyle there.
Keep blowing.
It was like 8 Mile. I mean, yeah. It was that good.
Yeah, it was that good. It was that good.
Watch out, Marshall Mathers.
Yes, watch out. I was in the cypher for a minute. It was a good beat, though. It's good.
I'm not even going to tell my story now because it sucks.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. 617-779-0985. And I have received the Pucks and Paddles master script.
Yes.
We don't have to do very much of anything.
They started that last year, and it's the best.
Yes.
Like, this, it's going to be so much fun. We're on stage for...
Three lines.
Yeah. I mean, basically, we welcome everyone. We do the play-by-play for the final game, and then we help present the check. And the rest of the time, we hang out and drink with the fans. And it's a Friday night, too.
I don't see
which
us
is great.
Introducing anyone.
Yeah. We just welcome everyone there. Like, when we come out with Patrice after the VIP session is done and the actual ping-pong tournament starts.
All we have to say is thanks, Michaela. Welcome to the third annual Patrice Bergeron and 98.5. The Sports Hub Pucks and Paddles.
But there's like some ... which means bring the yucks.
Yeah, and like, then you know, the ceremonial first games up on stage, you got to do that, I guess.
I'm not reading into that. It just says, thank you, Toucher and Rich.
Okay, well, we will do that then. We'll just say that and hand it to Michaela, who is a lifesaver. She did a great job last year. She does all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
And so we're going to just be, I mean, it's going to be a great time. And because Fred and I basically don't have to do almost anything at all. Did you see the matchups for the first round of ping pong?
You can tell that... I'm a big superstar because I'm going up against Andrew Gerecro.
You're on deck. You don't even get the first flight of matches. You're on deck.
No, they just said put him with Andrew Gerecro.
You get the guy who works for Nesson that got traded for Tuukka Rask.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. They said, hey, you and the Nesson guy. You're going to be the ones.
I'm noticing, and I'm taking on Chris Wagner. So Chris, it's me versus Chris Wagner. And I'm noticing, Fred, I think... The person who won the bids on you and the person who won the bids on me have the same last name.
They do. I took a look.
I've just now noticed that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like two brothers.
Well, I hope they're not expecting much.
Well, I mean, I think they understand that the first year I was carried by someone, and last year I basically was the reason that we lost. Not basically. I was the reason we lost the first round.
Yeah, I'm not overly sure the rules.
Yeah. Oh, well, the rule, it's okay. Shockingly difficult because here's what you have to do, and this is why it's not just being good at ping pong, is that when you play doubles, the rules are you hit it once and then the other team hits it back and then your partner has to hit it. So they could slam one right at you and your first instinct is to put up your paddle and hit it back, but you lose a point if you do that. Your partner is the one who has to hit it. And when you're in the middle of a game going back and forth, like, your instant reaction is just to do everything you can to make sure that that ball, you know, doesn't get off the table or do whatever. And I don't know how many points that I ended up losing. Probably the majority of them, because I was the one who effed up and I couldn't get it straight, that I couldn't hit the ball twice in a row.
Yeah, I don't even go that far. I'm not sure of the scoring. It all just goes... I don't know if I've ever won a point.
They have professional refs, too. Ping pong refs.
Yeah, but they don't pay attention to the game.
Each table has a ref. Sure they do.
Oh, no. No. Not every table. Not when it's all going crazy.
Oh, I've never had a bad experience. I
didn't say I had a bad experience.
What I mean is, like, the ref's always been good at our table. They're
looking at other stuff.
Okay. I mean, it is. You know, at the very beginning, when there's... How many tables? I guess 8 tables. It is a little crazy. But then, of course, as the tournament goes winding down, there's less tables and less tables. But,
you have made it into
Final Four.
Final Four. So, yeah. I mean, you have different experiences than me.
I got murdered by Pastrnak. Pastrnak's really good. I think he's the Bankroll Boys' favorite this evening.
Yeah, it's got the low odds.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Bankroll Boys coming there in their shirts?
Maybe. I see. This
Murray told me he would be there today.
Okay.
Joe Murray is going to be there.
Joe Murray told me he's got a ticket. He will be there today.
And he's taking action?
The Wong father always shows up.
Yes, yep. That's true. With the new public address announcer of your New England Revolution, he will probably be there as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if the Wong father comes, does Sarge.
I would imagine.
I think Andy Wong actually does a pretty big donation.
Yes, so, I think you're right about that.
So, I mean, the props to him.
I mean, who does not get a donation from Andy Wong? Andy Wong he's just tossing out dollar bills, y'all.
He's a very charitable guy. My favorite story is still when Joe Murray told me that him, Sarge, Jimmy Stewart, and Andy Wong went to that new restaurant at the casino, and they literally, not figuratively, literally ordered everything on the menu for the four of them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way the Wong father rolls. He said... Oh, you want to put up a competing restaurant? Let's see what's going on.
Let's try out the wares here.
Yeah.
And see what we got. What's our competition like?
He's like, this doesn't compare to Kowloon. This doesn't compare to Kowloon.
You don't have a big boat I can sit on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's the boat?
Where's bingo night? Where's Monday night bingo night?
Where's the retirement party upstairs?
The loon has bingo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, I didn't know that.
Sure. It's like at the front, there's that bar, and they have, like, bingo, and sometimes they have trivia. But he's probably at the casino going, where's your comedy club? Mm. We got the Kowloon Comedy Club, but spelled with K's. Not all three, because that would be bad. I think it's just called Kowloon Comedy.
Yeah, that would be bad.
I think they keep the club part
That's
out.
That's right. It's like, I don't see Lenny Clark here.
Well, he's got a residency at Giggles down the street at the Prince of Pizza.
Oh, I see.
or what's it called? Prince Pizza. Not the Prince of Pizza. Which, would that surprise you if there was a place in song is called the Prince of Pizza?
No. Yes,
I am Prince Pepperoni.
I am Prince of Pizza. Bow down to our breadsticks.
It was so great. I actually went one time. I like that pizza place. Like, I stopped there because you just basically could just shove pizza into your face, and it's, like, costs, like, $1. It's, like, super cheap. And sometimes you just want to shove pizza into your face. So we were going there one time, and sure enough, Lenny Clark was there. And Lenny Clark and his entourage, it's almost like he lives there at Giggles.
Well, that's his residency. Yeah. I mean, there's people that, you know...
Okay. Right, it's like Celine Dion at Caesars in Vegas. Well, he's been, like, there for years, you know?
The crew that... There's a crew that's at the Comedy Cellar in New York. It's like Jim Norton and Robert Kelly and those guys.
Right.
And then Prince Pizza or whatever the hell it's called. That's Lenny Clark's crew.
The best is that...
You got to work the material out before you hit the arenas.
I love how whenever there's a wrestler in town, I think they just make up an excuse for him to hang out at Kowloon by saying that he's going to do a comedy set. Because every wrestler is doing a comedy set at Kowloon Comedy. And I'm like, all of them can't be stand-up comedians.
There's one who's supposedly very good. We had him in studio. What's his name?
Yeah,
Dolph
Ziggler?
Ziggler, well, yes.
He's like a funny guy, yeah. Well, yeah.
I think going and saying that he's a good stand-up comic is probably going too far.
But they just get like, hey, Gorilla Monsoon!
I'm only going by what James Stewart told me.
Right? He's hysterical.
It's Gorilla Monsoon doing a comedy set. Hey, you're like, what?
Here's a joke. He's like... you know, Bruno Sammartino, I had him in a front leg lock.
A technical comedian.
And then he's a technical comedian. Yeah. Yeah, we get into it. I had him in a front face lock. And then Chief Jehoshaphat came in and hit me in the head. And then Jim Stewart in the back is just like, ah.
It's like tonight, the Big Boss Man comedy stand-up special at Kowloon. I'm like, wow, they find the most random wrestlers. And I think just as an excuse for them, they can hang out with them at Kowloon. They call it a comedy show, and apparently they pack it out. These guys just pack, and they just got to stand there and basically talk, not even like be funny. Jake the Snake comedy show.
Well, he's got it together now. He did the DD or whatever Diamond
DDP yoga, which has actually apparently helped a lot of these guys.
Yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this guy's a riot. Superfly Jimmy Snuka was telling a story. He's like, hey, I can't. I saw this cage, and I'm like, I can't jump off this. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha.
Breathing yucks.
So funny.
The wrestling yucks.
All right, well, what's coming up, Rich?
Oh, man, this baseball scandal saga is the best, and it keeps going and going, and the world's going to burn.
All right, we will find out all about that in just a moment.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
98.5, Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
And the dominoes keep falling in the Astros-Red Sox cheating scandal. And last night, as speculated, Carlos Beltran was its latest victim. Beltran, the only player named in MLB's investigation of the Astros sign-stealing scandal, he is out as manager of the New York Mets before beginning his first season with the team. The Mets releasing a statement that says, quote, "We met with Carlos last night and again this morning and agreed to mutually part ways. This was not an easy decision. Considering the circumstances, it became clear to all parties that it was not in anyone's best interest for Carlos to move forward as manager of the New York Mets." They continue with, "We believe Carlos was honest and forthcoming with us. We are confident that this will not be the final chapter in his baseball career. We remain excited about the talent on this team and committed to reaching our goals of winning now and the future." So there you go. 1, 2, 3. Beltran, the third manager to lose his job in the fallout from the investigation. He released a statement as well saying, quote, "Over my 20 years in the game, I've always taken pride in being a leader and doing things the right way. And in this situation, I failed. As a veteran player on the team, I should have recognized the severity of the issue and truly regret the actions that were taken. I am a man of faith and integrity, and what took place did not demonstrate those characteristics that are so very important to me and my family. I am very sorry. It's not who I am as a father, a husband, a teammate, a lover, or an educator."
He said a lover?
No, I threw that in there. The Mets organization and I mutually agreed to part ways moving forward for the greater good with no further distractions. But then the fun really began. As you heard, our own bankroll boy, Dan Lifshitz, say yesterday, there was someone on Twitter who identified herself or himself as Carlos Beltran's niece. She was the first one to break the news that Beltran was going to get hired for the Mets managerial job in the first place, and one of the first to report that his firing was imminent. So yesterday, after it was announced that her uncle allegedly had been, her alleged uncle had been let go, Beltran's niece tweeted, quote, "I'm told to stay quiet, but I refuse to. Sorry, Tio. Jose Altuve and Bregman wore devices that buzzed on inside the right shoulder from hallway video guy. Let's get it all out now. I have pictures from the locker that I will keep for a rainy day. Altuve didn't want shirt torn off, if I remember. Maybe I misspoke, but Chapman gave up a home run in the game." Oh! Everyone's going down!
Saw the video of that too.
Did you see the
picture of Bregman sitting there with the thing taped to his shoulder?
They had an Altuve as he was rounding third. They had a picture of he had something on his chest.
He made sure to hold his uniform closed as he ran towards home. I did see that.
So mere moments after that tweet came out, the internet went digging, and those photos started to surface of pictures where it looked like there was a small lump under the jersey of Jose Altuve. As a matter of fact, one of the more damning videos that you're talking about, Fred, is Altuve's walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman in the ALCS, where you can see his teammates run up to him, and Altuve is seen emphatically telling his teammates not to rip off his jersey. It was such an odd moment that even Ken Rosenthal afterwards had to ask him about it.
You asked your teammates not to tear your shirt. Why was that?
I don't know. I'm too shy. Last time they did that, I got in trouble with my wife.
Cheating, you bastard.
Yeah, his wife didn't want him to remove his shirt. Yeah.
He's too sexy.
I'm too sexy!
Driving everyone crazy!
Yeah, look at my nipples. They make everyone go crazy! Oh, man. And then Joel Sherman of the New York Post, he reached out to Scott Boras about the allegations against his client, Jose Altuve, and he said, well, when this came up today, Jose Altuve immediately contacted me, and this is his statement. I have never worn an electronic device in my performance as a major league player. Hashtag Astros. So, of course, known douchebag Trevor Bauer took time away from his budding rap career to chime in on Twitter saying, I've heard the same thing.
He's known.
Do you want to blend in?
Yeah.
My head.
All right, thank you,
Trevor. Let it ride a little bit just to let people know how bad it is.
I'm black, a soul turned by attacks, woven and carved by peeps who are whack. A total package I strive, my soul is revived by all the others who are one of a kind. When they tell you you're nothing but behind, smack them in the face and tell them they're blind.
All right, go fly your drone, you nerd.
That might be the worst rap I've ever heard.
I was beaten up in school, I was bullied, called a fool. Now I got slobber on my feet because all the females want to drool.
He might be the, like, without... Without any kind of hubris or anything, no, hubris is the wrong term, without any exaggeration, the worst rapper I've ever heard.
What's the word for not knowing how you're perceived, having no idea? Like, it's not a megalomaniac.
A narcissist.
Maybe not even a narcissist, but you have no...
An idiot.
You're delusional. You're delusional about how good this rap is.
I used to be beaten up in high school.
Oh, boy. But then... The baseball
now world. Now ladies drool.
I mean, listen to this cipher.
I was beaten up in school. I was bullied, called a fool. Now I got slobber on my feet because all the females want to drool.
I use cipher school? Because I heard Wiggy say it.
Of course. School, fool, drool.
That's almost as bad as like a Paul Stanley rhyme.
Paul Stanley's effing Edgar Allan Poe compared to that guy.
Well, then the baseball world said, well, you know, as long as we're throwing people under the bus, let's just keep going. On a Reddit page, the son of ex-Mariners coach Scott Brosius ended up claiming that Major League Baseball is covering up for one of the biggest names in baseball to rock the steroids. Did you see this?
No.
Okay, so this is from David Brosius, who's the son. He says, my dad was the third base...
Is it Brosius?
It's Brosius.
It's Brosius? Okay, yeah, that's atrocious, my pronunciation. Well, my dad was the third base coach of the Mariners in 2017. The Mariners knew they were cheating. Every team did. The MLB did. He knew exactly how they were doing it in 2017. The MLB just wasn't going to do anything about it until the public found out. My dad would give fake signs at third, acting like he knew what the Astros pitcher was going to throw, and Cora and Hinch would scream at him and call it Bush League. Weird how that works. And then he says, if you want to read something better... Mike Trout takes HGH for a, quote, thyroid condition. Oh. It's a loophole he found in the MLB that doesn't make it public because they don't want fans knowing their best player is on HGH. But people within know, thought you'd appreciate that since you're a Dodgers fan. He said, so.
Ah! It's all coming out.
Wow. Well, first of all, is Beltran now a first ballot Hall of Famer because of the cheating?
I mean, if you can't get in for the steroids, you heard a bunch of people saying yesterday, a bunch of pitchers saying, I would much rather face a guy on steroids than I would who knew what pitch was coming. So you want to talk about if these guys, I mean, if these legends who are just accused of taking steroids where there might not even be any real evidence can't get into the Hall of Fame, there's now, no way Jose Altuve is going to get
it. Here's the thing. I think people are softening on the steroid thing. You see these guys getting a higher and higher percentage of votes the further away we get from the end of their careers. I mean, Bonds and Clemens are getting closer and closer. They may not make it in because they shortened the waiting period from 15 years to 10, but maybe the executive committee, the old-timers committee, whatever they're called,
well, regardless,
I put them in.
Altuve's got to get, and Bregman got to get suspended for at least a season.
Well, I mean, if they end up finding out that that was real. Okay, there's one.
I mean, it's real. Well, they had the stuff on them.
I mean, you could see. It looks like a bump, but I mean. Yeah. But if this person. And by the way, I saw like Gary Sheffield and a bunch of other people saying, this is not Carlos Beltran's niece. That's a player.
Oh.
Like, everyone's like speculating that there's no way that this is his niece. That, and by the way, that account has been completely, like, it's off Twitter now.
Okay.
It's been shut down. So, and the way that these people who play the game know, they can see that some of the things they were saying, that they know the way that they speak, that this is somebody who actually has played the game. This is not some random relative. On top of that, if this person does indeed have pictures, I mean, think about that. What if all of a sudden you have pictures of The Wire and everything that was going up there? Now, there's that one photo that's around that is of Reddick, Josh Reddick, sitting there after the championship. And it looks like he has something taped on the upper corner of his shoulder. It's like he took his jersey off. He's got like a tank top underneath it.
Yeah.
But that
it's taped down. Yeah.
But that is a piece of confetti that's like on one of his. It's on like a thin necklace. It almost looks like a wire attached to something. But I think that is actually a piece of confetti because there's another photo of him in the locker room where he has the same piece of confetti there.
Yeah. Well, it's not confetti on Altuve because it's during a game and it's on, on his shoulder.
Well, just get ready because just like we saw with the trash cans where people went back and watched tape and they're like, oh yeah, there's that sound. Everyone's going to be watching those games, and they're going to be zooming in on everyone's shoulder to see if they've got these guys have a universal bump where apparently the guy in the video room is literally pressing a button that makes the patch vibrate so they know whether or not a fastball is coming. I mean, that's insane if that ends up coming out. And then all of a sudden, you have to start taking a look at the Red Sox and seeing if they do the same thing because this is obviously something Cora was involved in. And that makes me almost kind of wonder why everyone's so quick with the trigger to fire these guys. Probably because they know that Major League Baseball probably has something on these little buzzer deals. On top of that, there was a story that came out yesterday, and I don't know who it was, but it was that the reason that the Red Sox management let Cora go is that they were originally intending to possibly keep him. Remember how Shaughnessy even said that?
Yeah.
But then there was a threat that, or at least a possibility was presented that they could actually take away the 2018 championship.
Oh, wow.
So nothing is surprising me right now. Like I would have gone, there's no way they would do that. But with all this going on, I mean, okay, let's say they do show that, and there is definite proof, and there's a video of them putting on the wire, and there's no questions that Altuve and the other guys were wearing these buzzers. Don't you think that it's not within the possibility that they would take away that championship for that?
The thing is, well, first of all, taking away a championship doesn't mean anything.
Or they just
college basketball,
or just making it. What does it call it? What's the word when you? Vacating the championship.
But ultimately, that's a slippery slope because who knows what you're going to uncover.
Right.
I mean, it might be a decade's worth of teams doing this.
Maybe.
And you may have to vacate 10 straight world champions. I mean, honestly, Major League Baseball can't afford to slide down the back of that mountain.
Just blow it up, man. It needs a good kick in the ass.
I like the random shot of Trout who did nothing. he's just doing his thing. All of a sudden, he's like, he takes HGH.
Everyone's a wet cat in a bathtub right now.
God.
Everyone's flipping out.
I got news for you. Everyone takes HGH. Holiday used to put cream on. I mean, they need to. They play 162 games a year. It's not even a lot of times for the power. A lot of times it is just to heal.
Yep. Yeah,
I know.
I mean, if you're playing that many months every day, I mean, you need something to help you heal. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, when we come back, just a quick wrap-up on this because now things are getting weird within the Red Sox clubhouse. We had a player speak yesterday, and this could be a problem. Everything that's going on, this could end up being somewhat of a problem.
All right, here are the headlines.
Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 95, the Sports Hub.
Yo, Medusa's steer, my guns bust the silence. I'm a black vigilante killer. Pro balance is the rebirth.
985, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, there's more going on with the baseball sitch.
Yes, there is. Meanwhile, the players in the Red Sox pretty butthurt about the Cora firing. When Xander Bogaerts was asked what kind of manager he'd like, he said one like Alex Cora.
And here's a question that's going to really piss off the players this season. Yes, Xander Bogaerts?
Do you think this team's World Series title is tainted at all?
No, absolutely not. We came to the park every day. We worked hard. We practiced hard. Worked as teammates. We had each other's back. And we had a great coaching staff to go along with that. And I think definitely playing at home the first games in the World Series also really, really huge. And we took advantage of that right away. And we had a great run.
So while Michael Chavis was trying to say all the right things yesterday, it was reported that about Alex Cora leaving. Xander Bogaerts made no attempt to hide how crushed he was. And that's why it makes me laugh when I hear people like Scott Zolak yesterday on Twitter saying, bring in Showalter to be the new manager of this team.
Oh, God.
Can you think of a more snap-neck change?
Like smarmy, old-time son of a... I can't stand that guy.
Well, he was on Seinfeld. He showed that he was had a personality. When George worked for the Yankees.
This is a guy who, at Fenway Park, you know, the Orioles are getting perpetually beaten by the Red Sox in 2018. One of his rookie pitchers gave up a long home run. As a matter of fact, I think it was to Bogaerts. And before Bogaerts had rounded third base, Showalter had already crossed the third baseline to come and take his pitcher out. What a jackass.
Well, when
to show up a young pitcher like that and show up Bogaerts. I mean, come on. There's no reason for that.
I mean, when George was the traveling secretary for the New York Yankees, he suggested a warmer kind of uniform, and Buck Showalter did not shut him down on that.
Breathable fabric, cotton, right? And then they all shrunk in the dryer. I remember that.
Yes. Yes. And they couldn't move.
That's right.
Well, meanwhile, while we're talking about people's relatives speaking for them, like with Carlos Beltran's quote-unquote niece, Jason Veritek's wife, Catherine Veritek, was asked on Twitter whether she'd be okay with her husband being hired as manager of the Red Sox. Her answer was, thanks for asking me what I think. He's been with this organization for 22 years. He knows the game inside and out. Yes, I'd be more than okay with it. I just wonder what could happen to his legacy here. We live a great life just as things are now, and I always support his decisions. So there you go, Jason Veritek, your future manager of the Red Sox.
That's very nice.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe he would be. He's the Vegas odds on favorite, I believe, right now. He's got better odds than anybody.
And then they'll figure out that he cheated.
And then somehow.
So this is weird. Like, I'm actually wondering, Fred, if they are going to hesitate making a managerial decision until they find out how far this thing spreads.
You can't hire anyone who is on the staff with Cora.
Okay.
You can't.
Well, that's fine. But how many other teams are going to get pulled down in all of this? Like, I mean, you've seen it. Already people are just starting to freak out, and it's in fight or flight mode, and they're trying to take everyone down with them. So if it's indeed as rampant as people are saying it is, that it's not just the Astros who are cheating to this extent, then do you hire managers from almost any team right now, or any kind of assistant coach from any, or assistant, like, you know, like any person who is an employee of any of these teams? You know what I mean? It's like, you don't know how far spread this is going to go, so you don't have to pull a Carlos Beltran situation where you hire the guy, and before he even manages a game, you have to fire him because things came out in the investigation.
You hire Bob Wiley.
Now, maybe you do him.
Former offensive line coach for the Cleveland Browns.
The only thing he ever cheated on was his diet.
You're insinuating he went on a diet?
Maybe he did. Maybe Bob Wiley did. I am not quite sure if that was the case. Yes. Well, hey, the Bruins played with some balls last night.
Grizzlick gets his stick in there to win the puck to Carlo. He'll flip it back into the Penguins' end. Far point Marchand. Across. Bergeron shoots. He scores! Patrice Bergeron had a chance to skate into an area pass, and he blasts one by Jarry in the glove hand. 3-1 Bruins.
Yep, 2 days after being shut out for the first time this season, the Bruins fight back and win a big one. 4-1 the final score against the Penguins, and it looks like they were doing everything they could to erase the impression of this not being a tough team last night.
So each team back at
the They're going to go right now.
It's going to be Krug with Hornquist at the high slot in the Bruins zone. Each man fighting right-handed. They tie up. Neither can get a hand free. Hornquist with a couple of rights that miss. Kruger right. Krug another right. Kruger right. Kruger right. Hornquist to right. Hornquist to right that missed. And then Krug came over the top and belted him.
Oh, there's Tori Krug getting in a fight.
That's something Krug doesn't want to do again.
I think he even mentioned that. Well, Bruce Cassidy said after the last several games, the team knew that they had some things to address, and they did so right here at the Warrior Arena.
They're so psyched to play ping pong.
They probably are. They have a night off.
By the way, yeah, that's exactly what they wanted to do.
Was last year, was it after the ping pong tournament that Pastrnak fell and hurt his hand?
When he was...
I don't remember. Specifically after the event? That was a different night, if that's what you're asking.
I thought it was close, because I remember we were like saying, hey, it wasn't our fault.
He started drinking real hard.
It was like the night after, maybe. I think our tournament was on a Thursday, and he fell on a Friday.
Well, I'll tell you this, is that Wagner did not do anything special last night, so don't look for him to be much of a partner.
Good, because I'm taking him on. Hopefully I'll crush him in the first round. Well, here's what Cassie had to say.
I'm taking on Andrew Raycroft.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So keep your eyes
peeled. The tiger,
peeled.
Fred.
So keep... For those two superstars, me and Andrew Raycroft.
We had a different meeting on some things we needed to do better as a group. It wasn't necessarily a challenge. It was a reset on supporting one another all over the ice. And you hope if you do that to get pucks back, that'll bleed into anything else that transpires, i.e. the physical play, everything else that goes with it. And I thought that part was good.
Yeah, they had a team meeting and basically said, listen to what everyone's saying about this game and what this team has become. And yesterday you saw that they made a conscious effort to try to get rid of that stink that had been on them for the last several games. Well, Tori Krug was the first to admit that the team had lost a step over the last several games, but was glad to drop the gloves if that's what it took to bring some energy back to the team.
Look, over the years, I haven't shied away from doing it in the past, but hopefully it's a one-and-done thing for me this season, but you never know. So, like I said, I just hope it energized the group in any way, shape, or form, and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is not someone who wants to fight again.
No, but the best/weirdest part of last night was the tribute to Tuukka Rask in his 500th game, which was weird because I thought he was in concussion protocol, but he was there. Also, it was weird to honor his 500th game on a night he wasn't playing, but he was there watching, and he was very happy, which is, I guess, great news. Like, if he's able to be out in the crowd, and he's watching, and his wife was there with him, and he's around the lights and the noise, that's got to be a good sign, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well...
You would think so.
They showed a video tribute that featured... Chris Kelly congratulating him, Sean Thornton, Adam McQuaid, Dennis Seidenberg, Milan Lucic, who has frosted blonde hair now.
Really?
Have you seen it?
I thought he couldn't get any more sexy.
I saw it last night. I was really taken aback.
Dude,
I mean, it's very strange.
The singer of Smash Mouth.
It is weird.
Like, I mean, it is like...
He just goes, I suck now. I might as well just frost his back.
Like, he looks like somebody who should be like the bassist of Lit. Like some like alternative band from like 2000, right? Like Eve Six's drummer. You have to see the picture of him, man. I was like, whoa.
He wants his little black backpack back.
Right. He's the DJ in Sugar Ray.
Well, he was an African-American.
Okay, well, you're not the DJ. But the guy who wasn't the homely-looking guitarist or the DJ or Mark McGrath, because he's way too much of a hunk to be Milan Lucic.
Yeah, he couldn't hire other hunks who would take all the hunk away from him.
Okay, I'm being told that Pucks and Paddles this year was February 7th. He got hurt on the 11th, Pastrnak. Okay, I just remember when that happened. People were like, did it happen to Pucks and Paddles? It was a good weekend, apparently. On top of that, Anton Hudobin, Tim Thomas was on there, looking good. Don Sweeney, Cam Neely. And then this guy ended the tribute video.
Hey, Tuukka, Lars Ulrich, Metallica, hitting you. Congratulations on 500 NHL games. That is crazy cool and incredible. So thank you for being a Metallica fan. And so on behalf of Kurt, James, and Rob, and myself, congratulations on 500 NHL games, and we'll see you out there somewhere soon.
And I didn't know I was going to read this until 30 seconds ago when they gave me a script. I'm trying my best.
I can't drum very well.
Don't say that. Dude's a great drummer.
There's a lot of debate about that.
He's a great drummer. A
lot of debate.
Go listen to Master Puppets. That is a great drummer.
There's a lot of debate. Uh-oh. How good a drummer he is.
Cinch dissension in the ranks.
And they actually gave him Metallica gave him, or I don't know if it was Metallica who did it, but they gave him a double kick drum set, which is metal as hell.
Oh, yeah.
He got the double kick.
You get the double kick, you're able to, and then he should get like double paddles for like each one, so you can just go.
Two paddles for each of the double kicks.
Oh yeah, baby.
You don't have enough feet to work.
Oh, baby, you tell that to the dude from. What is the
two U's, two K's, two double kick drums?
That's right. Tell it to the guy from that holiday band that comes around.
The holiday band.
What is the band that only plays Christmas?
The Mannheim Steamroller Orchestra?
Yeah, you tell that to them.
Oh, yeah.
They got it going on.
They do.
All right, Rich. Celtics not good last night.
Celtics not good in the first half. Celtics good in the second half. Still not enough.
All right. We'll talk about that in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sports Hub.
The world like it was before my life became a movie, and they used to use my motherfucking trailer. 98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich and the Celtics lost last night.
Is this the new Eminem that just came out today?
No, this is Detroit versus everybody.
Oh, okay, because I know he just came out with an album today, right?
I hope you can respond to those Nick Cannon disasters that were those diss tracks that were absolutely terrible.
Yeah. Well, you knew things started off on the wrong foot when even Marcus Smart didn't know that certain players weren't playing last night.
What are the areas you guys have to make up for Jalen out tonight?
Oh, I didn't even know Jalen was out. Okay. Damn, caught me off guard, but I'm sorry.
Now, I don't know if it would have made a difference, but, man, this Celtics team could have started off any worse.
Latest run is 9-0 for Milwaukee. Entry, Giannis switches to the left hand and scores. They've actually got the scoreboard wrong in the building. Brad Stevens will call a timeout as this has gone from bad to worse. 10:31 to go in the first half. Milwaukee 44, Boston 20.
How much were they down by at their worst? 27?
27.
Yeah, 27 points they were down by, and it looked like all hope was lost. And then slowly but surely, you started to see a little bit of fight in these guys in the second half.
Ogilvy saves it from going out of bounds. They swing it around to Hayward. He'll try the three again. Finally, Gordon Hayward on his ninth attempt of the night. Knocks down his first shot. He beats the buzzer. And that'll do it for the third quarter. But the Bucks do their damage, and they do it with Giannis out of the game. A 19-3 run after the Celtics made it a six-point game.
And then somehow...
Gordon Hayward, by the way, atrocious last night.
No, he was bad. Yeah. And you know what? I think it's a situation where one of the best things that Gordon Hayward does is he just, like, with those big Clydesdale legs of his, just gets into the paint, and before you know it, he's scoring. But with Giannis Antetokounmpo there, I think there's a little bit of a fear factor. I think he's afraid, as are a lot of players in the NBA, to go belly up to him. And you saw what happens when you don't have a legitimate big man that can muscle around Giannis Antetokounmpo.
See, it's interesting. Offensively, especially in the second half, the Celtics did very, very well, even with Hayward being as bad as he was and Jaylen Brown not being there. I mean, Kemba Walker went off, but they found a lot of different ways to score. The problem, and this is where the big man comes in, is the defensive end of the floor, especially against Milwaukee, who has about six or seven guys that can score. So it's not just Antetokounmpo. I mean, you look at all the help they got. Brooke Lopez went off early.
He always goes off against the Celtics.
But the other part of it is Chris Middleton really wasn't needed until the second half when the Celtics got close, and that guy's an all-star.
By the way,
Dante DiVincenzo is hitting deep shots. That's a problem.
With just seconds left in the game, like, it's one of those things where you can't believe what you're seeing. The Celtics got within 4 points. They got within 4 points at the end of the game. And who's the last person you want to see shooting up a three when you're in that situation?
Smart was the guy that was open.
Bounce past Giannis, and the ball knocked away from him. Tice has it. 14 seconds to go. Boston down four. Kemba driving in the paint. Kick out. Open. Smart. Three. Short. And the Bucks will grab the rebound. Celtics have to foul quickly, and Middleton gets fouled by Gordon Hayward with 5 seconds to go. Marcus Smart had an open three that would have gotten Boston within one with 10 seconds left.
I'd rather have
Tatum
him
went
shoot.
Down somehow in that play. I'm not sure what happened, but he went down just a minute ago, and he's kind of cover up favoring his leg a little
Sean
bit.
Grandy usually does an excellent job painting a picture. I don't think he did a good enough job painting just how atrocious that shot was.
Well, like, I'd rather have him shoot than Williams. Boom, that's just my
daily. Grant Williams shouldn't be doing that.
Well, here's the problem. Grant Williams was on the floor in the second quarter. And if you take a look at the stat line, all of his shots were from three last night. And the reason was Milwaukee left him by himself.
Yeah, he just let him sit there.
It's like, you want to stand out there? Have at it. They gave him 10 feet of room. I think Giannis was on him. Like, you know what? I don't even have to go out there. I'll just play the perimeter and go get the rebound.
All right. Here's the only.
I'm never going to have to body you.
No. Stand out there by all means. I'm good.
Here's the only, like, if you want to look at sunshine and roses, Kemba Walker had 40 points, which was ridiculous. I mean, he went off
right.
in that second half, and also 11 rebounds I think he had last night.
Yes.
So he was he's that guy. You want a guy like him, and he's been off for a few games. So to have him back, that's good. The fact that they were down 27 and they clawed their way back, fine. You're never going to beat that team in a seven-game series until you get a big man. You're just
even,
not going
and
to.
And even then, you it's going to be a problem.
You may
claw
yourself
so deep
to a two wins in a seven-game series if you're lucky, just by that whole grit and great shooting that a lot of these guys have and the clutch players that are on your team. However, there's no chance you're ever going to beat the Sixers or the Bucks if you don't make some sort of move at the trade deadline. And I know, John, that you asked Danny Ainge about whether or not the phones ring, because not as much in the past. But I'm telling you, what are the two names you keep hearing? You keep hearing Andre Drummond, which is I think that the Celtics could really use him. And you know what? Chris Mannix made a great point the other night on TV.
Did he make a good difference stroke? Like I did?
Not like the bike shop one you did with Danny
I went back and listened to that joke.
It was that good. It really was that good.
I couldn't help myself. But I wanted to hear the silence afterwards.
John, you know brilliance. Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you don't hear and it got a DeVita and not rewind it.
It was phenomenal. But even listening to it back.
But Mannix said that, you know, Drummond's been playing for a loser team and a loser organization for ever since he's been in the NBA. Try to put him in a winning situation with a team that could really use him and where he could excel, and think of the numbers he's put up. And once again, he's one of the best rebounders ever. Like, look at his numbers ever. He's one of the best rebounders.
He's one of those rare centers that are left in the league, and there may be two or three left.
Yep.
That can't shoot a lick, but because they're so otherworldly good at other areas, defensively and rebounding, that's how they excel, and Drummond's one of those guys.
And the other name that, to me, it almost seems like too good to be true, but I love the Karl Anthony Towns talk, and I love the fact that he hates where he is and he's trying to shoot himself out of a team that just gave him
a zillion dollar 5-year contract.
But that's the NBA, Fred.
No one made him sign it.
No, but you know what? Maybe he thought, I'm going to take all of this money, and as soon as I get it, I'm going to bitch my way off the team, because you know what? That's how they do it in the NBA. And, and if that's his business plan, God bless him, because all it takes is Jason Tatum, Robert Williams, Gordon Hayward, and your guy, Grant Williams, to make that. No, I'm sorry, Carson Edwards, I think.
Carson Edwards, right.
To make that trade. And I would trade all of them to get Karl Anthony Towns. No question, I'd make that trade 1,000 times out of 1,000.
Not take it. You're keeping Wanamaker. That's all I got to say.
I love Wanamaker. Wanamaker's been effective this year.
Wanamaker, I have to give Rich credit. This is a good year for Wanamaker.
Who's been a Wanaholic since day one?
You have. You wanted him to start. That's a little different.
Well, no, that was when they were talking about having Terry Rozier. I said, I'd rather have Wanamaker be the starter than Terry Rozier.
I still don't agree with that.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. Rozier's a better player than him.
Rozier is, like, wildly inconsistent. Wanamaker's wildly awesome.
Well, I can't argue with that.
I mean, Wanamaker is a human highlight reel. All right, no commercials. Burt Breer in studio for the next hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.